My name is Jayanta Dhanapala. I'm currently the president of the Nobel Peace Prize winning Pugwash Conferences on Science and World Affairs. And as an ambassador of Sri Lanka, I chaired as president the 1995 NPT Review and Extension Conference, and then subsequently was the United Nations Under Secretary General for Disarmament Affairs. At the midway point of the 8th review conference to review the operation of the Treaty for the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons, which this year celebrates its 40th anniversary, I think we can be reasonably satisfied with the progress made, and unless there are some landmines on the way between now and the conclusion on the 28th, I believe we should be able to adopt a consensus final document. However, what we will achieve will depend very much on the political will of the countries concerned, most especially the nuclear weapon states. We know that at the opening of this conference, there has been a great deal of optimism because of the policies of President Obama. And indeed, that has been a major change after the winter of discontent that we all experienced during the Bush-Cheney years. But the question is, will the Prague Spring, as it is being called, blossom into a summer? And that depends not just on President Obama, but on other elements in the U.S. political scene, such as the Republican senators who are required to join their Democrat colleagues in order to have the 67 numerical strength to ratify the New START treaty as well as the CTBT. And these are two very critical landmarks on the way to a nuclear weapon-free world that we all desire. There is also the fact that France has been one of the most negative of the nuclear weapon states and has even introduced language that qualifies President Obama's vision of a nuclear weapon-free world. And we hope that they will not resile from the commitments made in 1995 and 2000. We have already had several of those commitments in 1995 completely turned upside down, such as, for example, the requirement that nuclear safeguards were an essential precondition for the supply of nuclear materials and nuclear facilities. That was thrown to the winds when the United States and other members of the nuclear suppliers group decided to have a deal with India for reasons of realpolitik and have agreed to supply them with the nuclear fuel they need for their civilian nuclear program while they use their own material for their military program. That is a tacit encouragement to India to develop more nuclear weapons, and naturally Pakistan has been incensed by this favoritism and has decided to block any negotiations on the fissile material cutoff treaty in the Conference on Disarmament. So we have had the nuclear weapon states tie themselves up in knots as a result of not following the principles of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, not fulfilling their obligation to, in fact, achieve the nuclear disarmament that they promised when they got the other countries to sign to legally renounce nuclear weapons and submit themselves to safeguards.
Where do you think the Non-Proliferation Treaty Review Conference goes from here into the future, into the next 5 years?
Well, I think we've set an irreversible course towards nuclear disarmament. We will strengthen the nuclear non-proliferation norm, and I believe that Iran will be given very clear notice that there will be no way in which it can continue to pursue a policy of non-cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency. But at the same time, other countries who want to have the use of nuclear energy for peaceful purposes will not tolerate any obstructions to their own inalienable right to this peaceful uses of nuclear energy. We will also have, with regard to the Arab states, some practical steps being agreed on for them to help make progress towards converting the Middle East into a zone free of weapons of mass destruction. There is also some suggestion that we might have a very modest administrative unit in order to help in the coordination of the work of the states' parties to the NPT, rather than have the UN do it from time to time. And I think this is a very healthy development, because I proposed this myself in 1997 and have seen myself the mistakes that have occurred as a result of state parties themselves being unable in between review conferences to have a good discussion about issues such as compliance and other important issues for the implementation of agreements that have been made at past review conferences.
Do you think that would be as, say, official as a secretariat, or something not quite as I don't know, structural?
There are several ideas, and Canada has submitted a working paper on the subject. There is still no consensus. Some talk about a modest secretariat, some talk about a virtual secretariat which will exist from one review conference to another. Some others talk about the president of the conference this year going on till 2015 in a kind of capacity where he and a little group around him can function in the same way. So we haven't yet had the issue fully discussed. It is being discussed in the subsidiary body under Main Committee 3. And the first draft of that committee's work is coming out today, and mayhap that will give some clue as to the emerging consensus on the subject.
Do you think a structure of some sort would be helpful?
I think so, definitely. I think it is the right of state parties to discuss amongst themselves, to have their own body. The IAEA is only responsible for Article 3 of the treaty, that is the safeguards aspect. And that is the narrow responsibility the IAEA has throughout. But even the IAEA reports do not come to the NPT except at review conferences. So the IAEA deals with its own board, and then if there is a problem, it refers it to the Security Council. But it is vital that the state parties, which is a relevant peer group, should be in a position to discuss issues of compliance and other issues connected with the NPT amongst themselves.
And how would this relate to the preparatory committee meetings?
Preparatory committee meetings, as you know, in 1995, it was envisaged that there should be a greatly strengthened review process. But it was a major battle. I know this myself, having presided over that conference, that the nuclear weapon states and their allies raised numerous objections. It was a major task for us to ensure the establishment of the first subsidiary body on nuclear disarmament in the year 2000. But on other issues as well, the preparatory committees have been relegated to being merely perfunctory discussions of subjects. They are also entrusted mainly with procedural items, whereas in fact they were intended to be much more substantive fora for discussion of issues of important principle regarding the performance in the past and the projection into the future of the NPT and the NPT policies.
So you've been an ambassador from a country. You've been in rather high up in the structure within the United Nations itself, and now you're president of PUGWASH, an NGO, a civil society organization. What are your thoughts on each of those steps?
I think each of those roles have enabled me to look at issues of peace and disarmament for different perspectives, and to recognize that all of them have roles. But while nation states are circumscribed by their policies, by their defense doctrines and their defense strategies, and by the relationships they have amongst the international community, civil society has a greater independence, a greater freedom to cause change in the world. And this is why I believe, as a former Secretary General Kofi Annan said, that civil society is in fact another superpower. And they don't in fact realize how strong they are. And they need to unite, they need to mobilize. The Sunday before the NPT review conference began, there was a demonstration of several thousands of people here. Of course, it was not as large as the 1982 demonstration when there were 1 million in Central Park demonstrating against nuclear weapons. And that is the tragedy, that after the Cold War ended, there was this false complacency, assumption that the dangers from nuclear weapons had disappeared because the Soviet Union had collapsed and the Cold War had ended. On the contrary, I would argue that with 9 nuclear weapon states and with non-state actors like Al-Qaeda seeking to acquire nuclear weapons, the danger of the actual use of nuclear weapons is even greater. And so we need to mobilize ourselves as civil society and apply pressure on our governments and on the international community to get moving on this way. I see a groundswell of support now for the Nuclear Weapons Convention. And I'm confident that as we did get results with the Mine Ban Convention, and there are people like Jody Williams used the simple device of a email in order to mobilize support.
Actually, she used a fax machine.
Well, that, and today we have your new technology here, plus the technology that we have in various other forms, which could be mobilized for action, and it is legitimate action. It is really the cry of the people that we should have a nuclear weapon-free world. And this, I believe, is my task now, and I will continue to do that as long as I can.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Thanks.